The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Now, I was talking about that documentary. It's on Monday night at 6:30 on RTE 1. It's called Two Lukes. And it's the story of the two Luke Kelly statues, which were unveiled in January of this year. One by Vera Clute, that's on Sheriff Street on the in the North Inner City, where Luke Kelly grew up. And the other one is by John Coll, which is on South King Street, just off Grafton Street on the south side. And John Coll joins me in studio. Good afternoon, John.
Hi, Ray.
John Coll as opposed to John Cull.
Coll, definitely Coll, yeah.
Have you seen the documentary?
Yes, I just saw it last night.
It's a beautiful documentary, isn't it?
It is very well done.
Yeah.
It is they had a difficult problem, you know. It started out as one sculpture, and all of a sudden, out of left field comes the other one.
Yes, yeah.
And it's like, hey, listen, this is a schizophrenic documentary we're going to have here.
And there's
how to balance the two, you know.
There's some rule somebody wrote in bygone days that there can only be one statue of any one person. Dublin City Council, that was a rule, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it hasn't been adhered to.
No, it hasn't been adhered to. We get the story.
Thankfully,
John Sheehan is on the line. How are you doing, John? Hello, John. No, we'll talk to John. We get the story of your statue first.
Sure.
So, Jerry Hunt.
Yes.
Tell us about Jerry Hunt.
Jerry, a very interesting guy. He was 3 years ago, I met him 3.5 years ago. He was approaching his 80th birthday. He was a retired architect and had, but his real passion was folk music. And his hero of all the folk musicians was the bow Luke Kelly. He knew Luke. He played in bands in the 60s and 70s, and he knew all the, you know, all the little folk clubs that popped up around the place during the late 60s, 70s in Dublin. And I think it was on his bucket list. He never married. I tried twice, he said, to celebrate Luke some way. And so initially he told me he wanted it for his back garden. He wanted a life-size Luke Kelly for his back garden. And I looked at him and said, yeah, come on, this is a crazy guy. But the more I talked to him, the more I began to realise that he was actually
serious.
Serious.
Because they're not cheap.
No. Oh, God, no.
Give us an idea. Give us an idea of, say, well, did you do Terry Wogan?
I did not do Terry Wogan.
I'm saying out of this, sculptor's row.
Terry Wogis is what I'm calling it. Anyway, but the budget for that now, and that was an open competition, which I did throw in something into, was 60 grand.
60 grand, right. So that's a ballpark.
So that'd be, a croak park, yeah.
Yeah, so Jerry then wanted to pay this amount of money to have a statue of...
No, we did negotiate. Okay. There
was
a lot of negotiations.
A statue of Luke Kelly in his back garden.
In his back garden, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to play a bit of Luke Kelly music just to get us in the mood, and then we'll talk more about this. Would you like Monto?
Take me away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got a wingo, take her up to Ringo, where the waxy singo all the day. If you've had your fill of porter and you can't go any further, give your man the order back to the Kay and take her up to Monto, Monto, Monto. Take her up to Monto, Langaroo.
Excellent.
Isn't that great?
Fantastic.
That'd put a smile on your face, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And of course, when Monto was cleaned up in the 50s, they rechristened it. They couldn't call it Montgomery Street anymore. They put another name on it.
Did they? Yeah.
So it wouldn't,
it wouldn't be identified with what it was identified with.
Yeah.
So Jerry commissioned you, and you thought he was a bit of a madman, but he turned out to be fine. And then you started work on it.
First thing I did was I made a model about a foot high.
Yeah.
I got him to okay that. And Jerry wanted it to be not just a monument to Luke, but a monument to that period of Dublin where the whole folk scene took off. So the chair that Luke sits in was kind of revolutionary for the time. It was designed by a Danish designer, Werner Parton. And it was the first single mode plastic injection chair.
Wow.
Right. Now, plastic chairs, of course, we take for granted.
Yes,
but in the 60s, this was revolutionary.
It'll be a thing of the past soon, plastic chairs.
Yeah. Maybe we should be using the recycled plastic to make chairs.
So he's sitting in that.
So we gave him he's wearing monkey boots. He's wearing the flare jeans. He has the big collars. Yeah. You know? So we wanted to echo the fashions of the period. You know, just to give it a feel for.
And he has the banjo.
And he has the five-string banjo. Yeah. Of course.
I would imagine, if this is a word, was he a joy to sculpt because of his hair and his iconic beard and
absolutely.
His features?
He was, I mean, when your man told this to me, I jumped at it, you know.
You were a fan as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I was. We were thinking about it last night, and when the record player came into our house back in the 60s, I was the runt of the family. My brothers were mad into music as well. And Long Tall Sally by the Beatles was the first single I remember. But I think the second album we bought was by the Dubliners.
Yeah. What was on it?
Will You, Will You, All You.
Oh, yeah.
There was an old woman, she lives
and in the Luke's woods, voice, you know. There's just something about Luke's voice. Mm. And what's brilliant about the documentary, and we're gonna pepper some music throughout this little chat, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
What was brilliant about the documentary is that there's loads of stuff that I hadn't heard before. He was interviewed by a song collector called Frank Hart in 1975, and they have clips of that throughout the documentary, which is on Monday evening at 6:30. So this is him talking to Frank Hart about one particular song that he used to sing.
Down in Bombo Lane, there was a big fat woman.
Sing that song.
Down in Bombo Lane, there is a big fat woman. And if you want to know her name, you have to pay a shilling. Sailors, 2 and 6. Soldiers, 2 and a penny. Big fat men, £2.10. Little kids, a penny.
There you go. The late Lou Kelly. We have John Sheehan on the phone now. How are you doing, John?
Very good, Ray. Thank you. The chat there.
Yeah, that's John called there with us. Say hello to John.
Mm. Hey, John. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
It must be great to hear Luke Kelly like that from 1975 there.
Oh, yeah. In an amazing way of delivering a song with such power and passion. Luke never did anything in half measures. He just gave it the full 100% every time, you know.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite song or a favourite performance of his from over the years?
I'd probably pick out 3 songs. Raglan Road would be one. The Town I Love So Well and Scarnot, His Simplicity. They'd be 3 of my favourites of Luke's.
Vera Clute in the documentary says that it was a performance of Scarnot, My Simplicity, from the TV. And that was the image of Luke that she used for inspiration for her sculpture.
That's right. That was a part of a series called McCann Man, where Jim McCann was hosting a series of programs. And actually, I was on that program myself, playing the fiddle with Luke when he sang Scarnot, His Simplicity on that occasion. Yeah, I think she just captured his spirit and his mood in that particular, the filming of that song. She just observed something special, as sculptors and artists do sometimes, and portray that in their work, you know.
And people may know this because there was a lot of coverage of it, but Vera won a competition put together by Dublin City Council. So they wanted to commission a sculpture of Luke. Meanwhile, parallel, you were away working on one for Gerry Hunt.
In a universe far, far away.
And in the middle of all that, there was the recession, and there was Christy Burke trying to get the sculpture there. And then I'll go back to John Call. What happened then, John? Gerry decided to change his plans for the statue.
Yeah, as we... We're basically putting the finishing touches to it. He comes in and says, "John, I've made a decision," and that's the worst thing a sculptor likes to hear at the end of that. But it was a nice decision. He says, "I'm going to offer it to the citizens of Dublin," was the way he put it.
Right.
So I said, "That's grand." I know a fella in Dublin City Council, Rory O'Keefe. So I gave Rory a bell.
What's Rory's title?
Rory looks after basically the public sculpture.
Right, okay. You know,
and
he's in charge of that.
He's in charge of that kind of thing.
God. So you rang him.
I rang him and I said, "Listen, this is what's happening, and what do you think the reaction would be?" And there was a silence.
Right.
At the end of the phone. He said, "Do you realise we're just, you know, what was happening, you know?"
We've commissioned one. We have one.
Now we've got another. You know, holy God.
And did he tell you we can't have 2 of the same man?
No, he didn't actually. No. He was too polite for that. Right. You know, he might have been thinking, you know, what have I got here? So it was a bit of a headache. It was. But I think if you look at it long term, Dublin got 2 sculptures for the price of 1.
Yeah. And both of them are brilliant
in different ways.
Yes, you know. Yeah, you yeah. know. What do you think? What do you think Luke would think of all of this, John? Two statues of him.
I'd say he'd be highly amused. I'm sure he'd probably react like a wood myself, saying, "What the hell did they do to deserve this?" You know.
Yeah.
But in a way, the two different pieces, they capture two aspects of Luke. In a way, John's one is very much the traditional Luke singing his favourite songs with his Jew banjo. The other one, just ahead on its own. Luke is a bit of a rocker. He was a bit of a rocker in the background, you know, during. You know, tuning up for a gig and getting ready, he'd be singing Beatles songs.
Yeah.
And I think in some way that the head that Vera did captures another aspect of Luke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had heard, you know, the Dublin Wags, they have great ways of nicknaming new pieces.
Okay, go on.
Did you hear it?
No.
The clown I loved so well.
that's the Vera one. And what's yours called, John?
It hasn't got one yet,
hasn't it?
No, I haven't.
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. But.
And Jerry died last year, so he didn't get a chance to see the statue he commissioned in situ.
Absolutely, no, he didn't. He didn't. But interestingly, he scoured Dublin looking for a site for it. You know, because we had that 3 years, and he said to me at one stage, you know, wouldn't it be great to get South King Street?
Yeah.
And well, he got his wish.
That's outside the Gaiety.
Yeah.
And it's there. That's such a prominent position, isn't it?
Spectacular. I was there last about 2 weeks ago, about 9:30 in the morning, and the sun was just coming down, and it just caught Luke, and the old Mercer's Hospital behind was in shadow, and he just glowed.
Yeah,
amazing. And then it was gone in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
The sun moved on. It was kind of a new Grangey moment, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah. All aligned. Everything was aligned.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But speaking of lines, actually, if you stand behind Luke and look where straight up the street and keep going on, you end up at O'Donoghue's, where it all began.
All those years ago.
Yeah. Can I just interrupt there? Because the other nickname that has arrived on top of Luke's head is the Locks on the Docks.
Oh, there you go, John. Did you know that one? Did you know?
I heard that one as well. Yeah.
The Cown I love so well, and the Locks on the Docks. You have a big birthday this year, John Sheehan.
I haven't, dude. I'm heading for 80 now next month, Ray.
Right. How are you going to celebrate it?
My 79th was on your show.
Yes.
Actually, with Paddy Maloney and company. Yeah, it was supposed to be Paddy's birthday celebration, and I ended up getting the cake and the whole palaver.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Well, if go on.
Yeah, you're asking me how I'm going to do. Well, I'm going to celebrate it by playing some music in different places. I'm celebrating with a big concert in Vicar Street on the 6th of December. I've already done a couple out in Dunleary in the Pavilion with some guests, and including Colin McInerney that I played with on your radio program there about a year ago. I'm doing a gig with him in May down in Baltimore Fiddle Fest, and a week later I'm playing with Pat Codrick, the classical guitarist, who's doing a gig in the concert hall with the concert orchestra, and I played a couple of tracks on his album recently, so he's invited me on as a guest. So there's loads of.
So you're busy in your 80th year.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. Great way to celebrate.
Do you know the other thing he's taken up sculpture.
Right.
He's taken up carving, haven't you?
A bit of wood carving. I was showing John a couple of pieces I did there recently. Yeah.
Do you know what you might do, John Sheehan? You might come into us and do soundtrack to your life. Would you do that?
Yeah, why not?
Right, there's a public invitation. He said yes, so it's done and dusted there. That's like signing a contract.
Couple of million witnesses now.
John, listen, have a lovely Easter. John, I have Joe Hill here. Will I play a bit of Joe Hill? Or Raglan Road? Which?
Joe Hill would be a nice one. Can I give you a couple of lines I wrote about Luke?
Yeah, right.
Just to lead into that. It's called The Long Note.
Right.
You're the one for the phrasing, Luke. I love the way you played hide and seek with the pulse of a song, stretching a note beyond the bar line till you left us dangling at a cliff edge. With a thread about to snap, you rescued the rhythm and reeled us in to catch a missing heartbeat. Now.
There you go.
Yeah, wonderful.
So, Monday night, two Lukes. John Sheehan's there, John Cull is there, and so is his sculptor of Luke Kelly. And it's a lovely, beautiful documentary with a big soul, and we play a bit of the late Luke Kelly now. Thank you, John.
Later.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Good luck, John.